and singing, and the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, and they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Now I want you to look this way. The Bible said they shall see the glory of God. Not many people have ever seen any glory. I'm glad I've seen a little bit. And if the other's any better than what this other was, I'll tell you, no wonder I'll have to have a new body. Say amen. Bless God, I want to tell you something. You get around the glory, it changes. Now, a lot of preachers used to believe in the glory, don't believe in the glory anymore. A lot of churches used to believe in the glory, and it scares some of them to death. Say amen. But the Bible said there'll come a day when they'll see the glory of God again. Notice the next verse, please. The scripture says, strengthen ye weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with even God with recompense. He will come and save you. Now notice before I read on, it said, God's the one that does the saving. Boy, we can learn that. God's the only one that can save. Somebody said, I think the preachers save a lot of folks. They're in a mess if that's all they got. And you say, I believe that pool, that baptism pool, saves them. If that's all you got's water, you better, you're in bad shape tonight. Or I said, God will come. God will save you. You know who saved me? The Lord. I'm not going to preach on Jonah, but I wish I could one night. Because the Bible said in 2nd chapter, verse 9, and he cried out in the belly of that fish, salvation is of the Lord. That fish was a liberal. You know why? Because the next verse said he couldn't stand that and he spewed him out. Amen. That's what the book said. You read it when you get home. Brother, the Bible said Jonah cried, salvation is of the Lord. It scared that fish so bad he spewed him out in the next verse. That's what the book said. But look here. He said he'll come and save you. Now, let's read on. This is what the Bible said. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man keep a leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each leg shall be grass and reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go thereon. And it shall not be found there, but the redeemed, notice, shall walk there. You know who's going to be on that highway? The redeemed. You know who's going to be in heaven, beloved? The redeemed. You say, who do you belong to? A special society. The redeemed. Praise God. That's the crowd I belong to. Saved by blood. Redeemed. And I like that. Notice what he said. He said, shall walk there. Verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return. Well, I like that. And come to Zion. With songs. No sad tales here. Boy, they're coming back singing. Isn't that good? I'm telling you, and the Bible said everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away. Now notice, they're coming back. Isaiah said, I looked down and I saw a day when it all be changed. And I'm glad, beloved, there's coming a day when all's going to be changed. But I'm glad tonight here in this camp meeting, if you've got a need, God can meet that need. Your heart can be changed. Bless the Lord. And you can leave here with something more than you had when you came to the service. I want you to be seated, beloved, and bow your head all over the house. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this camp meeting. We thank you, Lord, for the good spirit of God, for the choir that sang, the quartet. Lord, I'm so glad that you'll make a way. I'm glad that you specialize in things impossible. And God, I pray that everyone here will see that the Lord can cross every river. Thank God he can tunnel through every mountain. There's nothing that our God cannot do. And I pray as we come to bring the message on when the roses bloom again. Oh God, that you'll speak to everyone through the preaching of the word of God and the spirit of the Lord. And we'll thank you, our Father, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want to speak tonight on the subject, when the roses bloom again. Now here's what Isaiah saw. You see, Isaiah lived 700 years before the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. But he looked way beyond the birth of our Lord. And he said, children, I see a garden. He said, God, the garden that was once beautiful, the garden that was once a glorious spot, has now become a wilderness and a desert. Let me say to you, beloved, I'm so glad that one of these days this whole world is going to turn into a beautiful garden. But you say, preacher, what did Isaiah see? As he looked out his window, he said, I see a wilderness. I see nothing but deadness and dryness. And as he looked at that, it can be compared to life. Solomon said, your life is a garden, and your life, it can come dry and dead. But I'm glad, praise the Lord, when the dew of heaven comes down. I'm glad when the fresh oil of God begins to fall. I'm glad, mister, when God touches us. Thank God there is a beautiful vegetation in the garden of our heart. You say, preacher, amazed, do you believe the roses can fade in a life? I believe your life can become defeated. I believe your life can become useless. I believe your life can come to the place where there's no victory. But I also believe the God that saved you has the power and the glory that he can give unto you, whereby you can walk, where angels fear to trod, where you can enjoy drinking from the deep waters and enjoy the blessing of God. And Isaiah said, you see that desert, one of these days it'll blossom like a rose. He said, the garden is going to be beautiful again. He said, one of these days the blind are going to see, the lame are going to walk, and the deaf are going to hear. And brother, that was a beautiful scene. But he said, the roses have now faded in the garden of Israel. I want to mention five in the Bible where the roses faded in their lives. And if you have your Bible open, jot these five down. First of all, Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham was a man that believed God. I want you to know, if there's anything that we need some people that believe God in this day. We need some people to step out on faith and say, we're going with God, in spite of all the devil can say, in spite of all the world can do. We believe that God's still on the throne, that God is still in business. And so Abraham, the Bible said, was a friend of God. You say, preacher, I'm a friend of God. Not if you don't do what he says, you're not a friend. Jesus said, you're my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. He's got a lot of enemies. The Lord's always had enemies, but I want to be his friend. I want God to be able to look down here and say that Mace Jackson is his friend. You know what God said to Abraham? He said, after 25 years, a little baby was born in your home. After 25 years of promise, I let that boy come, and now, he said, I want you to take that boy, Isaac. I want you to get up and go 3 days to a place called Moriah. Now in the Bible, Moriah's Calvary. And he said, Abraham, I want you to take that lad and go to that place. And the next morning he gets up and he takes out a little boy and he says to Sarah, we're going to believe God. We're going to worship. I want to say to you, there's not much worship, brothers, in these days in which we live. Now I come to church, I want to worship. Bless God, I want to be lifted up above the shadows and the heartaches of this world. I want to commune in the upper room with Jesus. I want to feel his presence and his power. I want to get in to the things that is a blessing. And the scripture said, he said, let's go y'all and worship. And he went for 3 days. 3 days is a type of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when he got there, he said to the servants, stay here while we go yonder. I want to tell you, up that dark hill that morning, the roses faded in his garden. Little Isaac had the wood on his back. Abraham had the knife in one hand and the fire in the other hand. And as they went up that mountain together, that little boy said, Papa, let me ask you something. Said, we've come before
But we always had a lamb for the burnt offering. Abraham looked down and said, Son, God will provide himself. I'm glad, praise God, when John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus in that river, across that river, he said, yonder he is. Yonder's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Aren't you glad? Thank God. And Abraham said, Son, God will provide himself. And when Jesus came into this world, you hear me? He came in. God put on fingernails. And God put on eyelashes. And the very God of heaven became a babe in the virgin's womb. I want to tell you, the very God of the very God. And that thrills my soul. You say, preacher, what happened? I'm glad that God's Son died upon that cross. Just as Isaac was to die upon that altar. I want you to see Abraham. And he says, Son, God will provide himself. And as they go yonder quicker, they get to the top of the hill, they prepare an altar. And when they prepare that altar, he binds the hands of Isaac. You see, they had to bind the hands of our Lord. And they bind his hands. And then he lays him down that altar. And he says, Son, I'll meet you. He said, we'll go down together. And I'm so glad he believed in the resurrection. I wouldn't give you a nickel, bless God, for a preacher didn't believe in the resurrection. Say amen. I would give you for church that didn't believe there's something out stronger on the other side of the grave. Brother, you say, preacher, what do you mean? Notice here. And the scripture says Abraham reached over and got that hot knife. And he took that knife that was coming down on that little boy. And as he started down, the Father in heaven said, Abraham, Abraham, stay by him. I'm glad God's trains run on time. You don't have to worry about them, praise God. They run on time, and God said, Abraham, wait just a moment. And the next verse said, and God said, lift up your eyes. And I see Abraham lift up his eyes, and in the thicket was a ram. And I believe he said, Son, the roses are blooming again in my garden. Thank God, when you go and see Jesus, yonder Calvary, you know what it'll do for you? It'll make the roses bloom again in your heart. Brother, if you'll go to Calvary with me, like Abraham went, I'm glad. It'll cause that garden to look beautiful again. How long's it been since you said, preacher, I took a stroll of faith and went to that place called Calvary. Years ago, I went to Calvary for the first time. I knelt down and kissed the ground. And I said, Lord, here's where the blood came down. Here's where the price was paid. I can't sing, but I started singing, Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone and All the World Go Free. I started singing, It Was the Blood That Stained the Old Wrecked Cross. And you say, Brother Meeks, let me tell you something. I'm glad the roses bloomed again in my garden, mister. And so Abraham had him to fade, but he had him to bloom again. Number two, there's a man in the Bible named Jacob. And Jacob's called heel snatcher and deceiver. But mister, had a lot of ups and downs in his life. My Bible said he was a stranger to God. And he ran. Did you know that most people in this country are running from God tonight? But when that day comes and you turn around and run to the arms of Jesus, what a difference it makes when you stop running from God and run to the arms of the Savior. He was a stranger, a fugitive, and a vagabond. Then the Bible said he was saved. I like that. You say, when did he get saved? He laid his head on that stone. And that night he dreamed, and he saw a ladder. Praise God, Jesus is that ladder. And he reached all the way to heaven. And I'm glad that night he made his vows to God. Let me say to you, my friend, not only was he a stranger, not only was he saved, but he was sifted. And during the sifting process, Brother God, let the roses fade in Jacob's garden. You say, well, how was he? How was he sifted? Number one, he was sifted by his wife. You know, he married the wrong woman. That's bad enough. Say amen right there. Bible said he went over there to the east and fell in love with Rachel. And Rachel was very beautiful. He worked 7 years for Laban, for Rachel. And when he worked 7 years, you hear me? Oh, he's going to marry Rachel. And he was deceived by Laban and he married Leah. Not only by his wife, but he was deceived by his wages. Oh, let me tell you something. He was shifted. The Bible said 10 times his wages were changed by Laban. I want to say to you, friend, you better be working for Jesus. Thank God it'll be great dividend in the great eternity. Oh, if you work for Jesus, I want to tell you, you'll never lose. It's good to work for Jesus. And then by his walk, he was shifted by his walk. That night he came to Peniel. An angel hit his thigh. And from that day till Jacob died, he was a crippled man. And he dragged that old foot. And the roses faded in his garden. But I want to tell you, years later, when his boys came back from Egypt and said, Papa, Joseph is alive. And they said, we can't believe that, boys. I can't believe it. You can't believe it. They said, we saw him. He's the governor of all Egypt. And as he told them, the boy said, Daddy, can't you believe it? He said, no. They said, he sent you something. Look out the window. And the Bible said, that old crippled man went to the window and looked out. And when he saw the wagon, you know what he did? I believe he jumped up off of that old crippled foot, clapped his hands and said, he's alive. He lives! Thank God. Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus is a resurrected Son of God? I'm not serving a dead Christ. I'm not serving one on the cross even. I'm serving one that died and was buried and arose and ascended back to heaven. And he sat down and someday he's coming back again. You say, preach, because he lives, I can face whatever I have to face tomorrow. And because he lives, what a blessing. I went to the tomb one time. I got there early, real early. And Brother Solomon Matter said to me, said, preacher, said, now there'll be some folks and some tourists coming by early to have a sunrise service. I said, well, I want to get in the tomb. And you have to bend over to get in that thing. And I got in there and I said, Solomon, give me the key to this thing. I want to get over there where he was placed on that rock. And he gave me, told me the key was behind the rock, and I opened that little iron gate, and I went back there and took my shoes off. I put my feet where his feet had been. I laid my head where his head had been. I reached over and put my hands on my bosom. And I said, Lord, let me feel a little bit of the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And you say, preacher, please, what happened? I want to tell you what happened. Something hit me in the top of the head, went from out my toes. You say, I don't believe it. You wasn't there. You don't know what happened. Say amen. Praise God. I want to tell you, mister, I felt a little bit of the resurrecting power of the Son of God, and the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that's going to quicken these mortal bodies. And praise the Lord, we're going to leave out with a shout. You talk about a time, mister, it's going to be wonderful. But when Jacob, old and crippled, when he saw the wagons, he said he lives. And the roses started to bloom again in his garden. If you want something to stir you and to cause the dew of heaven to make your garden green and beautiful in the sight of God, you just get away somewhere. Ask God to show you the living Savior. Praise God, I want to tell you, that'll cause the roses to bloom again in your garden. Now notice number 3. That was Joseph. There wasn't anybody like Joseph in the Bible. 111 times in the book of Genesis. Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus. Everything about Joseph was Christ-like. That's recorded. The only time Joseph ever asked for help was when he was in jail, and he said to the butler, he said, when you get out, remember me. Now, if I'd have been down in jail for something I didn't do, I'd have hollered to you, say amen right there. Here's old Joseph. Mister, let me tell you something. They pitched him in a ditch. Let me show you something. We don't have to hurry too fast. This is what the Bible says in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 4. And his brothers hated him. It's bad when your brothers hate you. If you read down in verse 8, the Bible said his brothers envied him. If you read down in verse 14, it said his brothers conspired against him. Yes, Joseph. They stripped him. They threw him in a pit. And finally, they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And as he's riding away down to Egypt, Egypt. He was going as a slave. A slave had no name. A slave had no property. I used to be a slave, but Jesus set me free. And thank God, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm free. Thank God I'm free. And it's a blessed thing to be free, beloved. You say, what have the Jews to be sold into Egypt? The roses must have faded in his garden. But you say, preacher, did there ever come a day when his roses bloomed again? One day it's the governor of Egypt. They said, some boys are here from the land of Canaan. They're looking for corn. And Joseph walked out and knew that was his brothers. He said, how's Papa? How's Papa? They said, he's doing fine, your honor. And the governor said, wonderful. Do you have a brother that's left? They said, yes, one called Benjamin. He's the youngest brother. And old Joseph went back, and the Bible said, cried so loud until all the people heard the shout. You say, what was he doing? The roses were blooming again in his garden. And you say, preach amaze, what will happen to me? You may think that you're down. You may think that your life's dread and dull and you'd cry. But I'm so glad that that old garden, even though there's thorns and thistles, if you get a touch of God and a touch of revival, you'd walk out of here with joy and singing and praise. And you'd walk out of here and say, glory to God, I'm glad the roses are blooming again in my garden. The stretch of blessing. Let's look at Job. I like Job. There's 42 chapters in the book of Job. The Bible said there's none like Job. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God could say there's none like you, none like me? The devil said, Job is a crook, and Job will curse you. He said, let me have him. And God said, all right, I'll show you. Ain't nobody like Job around here. And I'll let you do everything but take his life. I want you to know, mister, when the hedge was knocked down by the father and the devil came in on Job, there's some three things happened to Job. Write these three things down. First of all, he was crippled by bankruptcy. He lost everything that he had. My friend, listen to me. You can pile up riches and you can pile up fame and fortune, but it may go down the drain. The Bible said it. There came a day in Job's life when they ran and they said, the Sabaeans have come and you've lost everything. Said they took your sheep and they took your camels and they took your oxen. And Job, you're broke. Let me tell you something. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. And brother, when man gets his eyes on only silver and gold, he gets in trouble. You know what happened when they said that to Job? Job didn't curse God. He said, the Lord gave it and the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to tell you, that's a good way to look at the thing when it goes down the drain. You see, God gave you everything you have. Nothing but every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. I'm glad every good thing I have came from the Father. I don't have a thing that's any good except the Father. Every bad thing I've ever had, the devil gave it to me. Say amen. Every bad thing that ever happened, you sin for it. Every bad thing, all the sorrow and everything else, is because of sin. And what sin did to your life? Watch this. He's crippled by bankruptcy. Boy, I'll tell you, I know what it was. My daddy lost everything in the Depression. And he was sad for a few days, but he kept remembering what my mother said to him. Mother said to him, said, Mace, said, we might have lost everything in the crash and when the banks closed, but she said, we still got God and one another. I want to tell you, praise the Lord. If you've got God, you hear me, it's blessed. Hallelujah. Not only was he crippled by bankruptcy, but he was crushed by bereavement. You take seven sons in a church at one time and three daughters. I believe Brother Kenneth said you've had four funerals here recently. But have you ever had one day when you rolled seven children or sons down the aisle and three daughters that belong to the same family? You know what old Job did? He went out and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Brother, it takes old time religion. I want to tell you, when you come to that place and you look death in the face and you look sorrow in the face and you jump up on your heels and say, hallelujah, he's still God. And God never changes. And God is still God. Bless his wonderful name. Brethren, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. Not only was he crushed by bereavement, but hear me, he is covered by boils. You ever had a boil? I had one on the back of my neck, and I don't want another one. Say, man, that's the hurtiest thing I ever had. I went up to preach at Knoxville. Every time I'd turn my head while I was preaching, it would hurt, and I'd go to crying. Everybody in the church cried. We had the crinest revival you've ever seen in your life. I got ready to leave up there, and the preacher said to me, when you come back next year and there's nobody weeping, I'll pray for a boil. Praise the Lord. I said, don't you pray for it. I don't need it. But you say, preacher, what happened to Job? The Bible said he was covered with boils from the top of his head to the tip of his toes. Brother, you talk about everything looking like the roses and faded in his garden. And on top of all that, look at the fourth thing that happened, he was cursed by his wife. His old wife came in and said, curse God and die. Now I'm glad old Job said, you talk like a foolish woman. Said when the sun was shining, you could trust him. And now the clouds have come and you can't trust him. My friend, thank God. Just beyond the clouds, the sun is still shining. Thank God. Listen to me. When you see the clouds hanging low, don't give up. Throw up your hand. Old Job turned his wife and said, honey, you're talking foolish. He said, I want you to know my Redeemer liveth. Praise God. And he'll stand on the earth in the latter days. Aren't you glad, mister? The roses will bloom again in your garden. You say, did they bloom again in Job's garden? The Bible said in the last chapter in verse 10, that's what the book says. It said, and God blessed him twice as much in the end as he did in the beginning. You say, how do you know? He had 7,000 sheep to start off with. And over there in the 42nd chapter in verse 10, he said 13,999. He said 14,000, honey. 999. And then he said, there's 6,000 sheep. Our camels. And then he said, honey, there are 1,000 oxen. Said, you see, God's doubled everything we had. And in the evening, brother, I can see him stand there, and he said, don't you hear the birds are singing once more? Praise God. Can't you smell the rose that's blooming again in the garden of God? And somebody said, preacher, in Job's life, when the rose is fading, thank God, before he died, he looked out and saw the blessings. He had twice as much as he had in the beginning. Let me show some lady down the line said to me one night, she didn't have twice as many children. I said, yes, he did. Yes, he did. He had 10 in heaven and 10 on the ground. Say amen. It's God. He just had 10 over there waiting on him. See, he had twice as many. Now look with me, if you will. Here's the last one who had his roses to fade. And you'll have your roses to fade one of these days. There'll come a call. There'll be a letter. Or somebody will knock at your door and bring you the saddest news that you've ever heard. You say, preacher, what is that? That's the time when the rose is fade in your life and in your home and in your garden. The Bible said the prodigal son was the younger of the two boys of that family. One day he got tired of being tied to daddy's apron string. He got tired of being tied to mama's apron string. And he said, I'm leaving out of this place. And he took his goods and went into a far country. You say, Brother Mays, boy, that boy had a sad day. Mister, any time a man leaves God and family and home, there's a sad day coming up. I don't care who you are and where you come from. Mister, there's a sad day. After the sad day came a bad day. I mean, nobody would know it. It was a bad day. But thank God, before the story ends, there was a glad day. You say, preacher, please, I'm glad there was a day of jubilation. There was a day when they killed the fatted calf. There was a day when they danced. There was a day when they shouted, my boy has come home. But I want you to see the day that the rose is fading in his garden. I want you to see that day. The Bible said he took his journey to far country. And when he went in that far country, he lost three things. I want you to write them down. Three things happened to him. The first thing happened to him, he became penniless. He was stripped of everything that he had.
I want you to know, mister, they took everything he had. The old drinking, gambling crowd will take everything you have. The devil's crowd will strip you tonight. You better find you some folks that love God to hang around with. That old crowd out here at the honky-tonk, mister, they won't care nothing about you. That crowd out yonder in the booze den. Are you listening? The prodigal son became penniless when he'd spent all. And after a while, a man spends everything he's got. He spent everything he had. Oh, the roses faded when he became penniless. And then the second thing, he became friendless. I tell you, you better have some friends. I said to you when I was here before, you better find you some friends. Thank God, I'm glad I found a friend whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves me when I'm up. He loves me when I'm down. He loves me, but God and everybody else don't love me. I'm glad he loves me. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a friend that loveth at all times, Solomon said. And what a blessing it is to have a friend like the Lord Jesus Christ. I've had some wonderful friends. I think one of my best friends is a little boy that lived down in Billerica, Georgia. And he lived to be 21 years old. He was crippled, had crippled hands and crippled feet. And they'd bring him to hear me preach in a wheelchair. And he never got tired of driving up to Atlanta and being in meetings with me. His name was Larry Broom. Next week, the Lord willing, I'll be in 4 miles of his grave. But I never had a better friend than that little old boy named Larry Broom. For 8 years, he didn't miss a broadcast, Monday through Saturday. Are you listening to me? 8 years! That little old cripple boy would pull up there to that radio and say, "Preach, Brother Mays." And the tears would streak down his cheeks and he'd say, "Praise God. I'm glad I'm your friend. Keep on preaching, Mays." We know the same friend. His name is Jesus. And boy, listen to me. He'd come to my meetings and he'd come in a wheelchair. And he had a battery on the back of it. He'd push that little button and come right down. Roll right down where I was standing at the service. He'd say, "Hi, Mays." And I'd say, "Hey, Larry, how you doing?" He said, "I'm your friend." He'd hold those little crippled hands up. He'd say, "I'm your friend. I can't work like other people, but I'm your friend." He'd hold that little old nubby foot up and he'd say, "I can't walk like other people, but I'm your friend." He said, "You've got two crippled hands." He said, "I want you to know you've got two crippled feet. I want you to know you've got a big heart here. I'm your friend." And every 2 weeks, that little crippled boy would write me a letter and send me a dollar. Every 2 weeks, he'd say, "Preacher, I love you. I'm your friend." One day I had to go off the radio in Atlanta to go out and make up some money. His daddy went home to see little Larry. And little Larry said to him, said, "Daddy, open that door. Brother Mays is out making up money." And the dad opened the door and the little boy pushed that button and took that wheelchair and went down on the Tallapoosa, Georgia highway and sat there in that wheelchair and held that little crippled hand and waved every car down. Not a car passed him, Mr. Broom said, that rolled the glass down and said, "Can I help you, buddy?" And that little crippled boy looked up with that crippled hand and said, "Yes, I got a friend named Brother Mays and we need a little money. Would you give me a dollar for him?" Boy, I want to tell you something. When he got $25, he said, "Daddy," and said, "I'm going to the post office and mail it to Brother Mays as quick as I can." And then a couple of years later, I was in the meeting and he came and he said, "Brother Mays, I'm going to meet you by the river of life. I'm going to see you over yonder where we'll live together." And he said, "By the way, I'm going to race you around the tree of life." I said, "Race me around the tree of life?" He said, "Yes, sir. And guess who's going to win?" I said, "Me, that's who's going to win." And the little boy said, "No, you're not." He said, "I've never had two legs. You wait till I get my new one. Praise God, I'll leave you in the gold dust." And you say, "Preach, I'm going to tell you something." Oh, you say, "A friend. He was a friend to me." Oh, what a blessing is to have a friend. To have a friend. And the day they came and the ambulance put him on his little bed to carry him out, he turned to his mama and said, "Mama, yeah, I won't be back home here. I'm going to another home." But said, behind the clock is Brother Mays' letter after the funeral. Said, "He's in Pennsylvania." Said, "Mail that letter to him. I want him to know I'm still his friend." Boy, I want to tell you, 2 days later, that little boy died. I got back from Pennsylvania. That airplane hit the ground. I told my wife, I said, "Billerica, please." We went down to Billerica, and there was the little grave, and I knelt down on it. And I said, "Praise God, I'm glad I found a friend." And I said, "Jesus, I'm glad I've made a friend with you."
because I made some more friends in the Lord Jesus. The prodigal son became penniless. He became penniless. Now notice the third thing. He became shameless. And he got in the pig pen. Oh, you say, what was he doing now? He wasn't singing happy songs. His heart was heavy. He was hungry. He was tired. He was forsaken. And the devil told him, said, you're where you ought to be. And I'm glad the Bible said he came to himself. Glory to God. Any day that a man ever comes to himself, any day that a woman ever comes to herself, it's a blessed time. You say, preacher, please, what happened? He said, I'll arise and I'll go to my father. Oh, he said, there's something better over yonder in another country. He said, there's a house of blood. There's a dead that'll have his arms waiting on him. Oh, there's a table that's spread where I can eat. I don't have to eat with the pigs anymore. I will arise and go to the Father and shall sin before thee and before heaven. I'm not more worthy to be called my son. Said, make me a hired servant. But I want to tell you something. He never got to shine any boots. He never had to wash any dishes. That old father was out there in the cold, holding up that hand. He said, I believe I see my boy coming home. And the Bible said he saw him afar off. And he ran and he found his neck and he kissed him. I want to tell you something. He said, son, come to the house. And he took the rags off and put the best robe. Hallelujah. And a ring on his finger. And shoes on his feet. And said, this, my son, was lost, but he's found. Oh, and they began to dance and shout and to make merry. And I believe the father said, where are you going, son? He said, I'm going back here to my garden. He said, I haven't heard birds sing in a long time. Oh, he said, it's been dry. I want to see the beauty of the Lord again in the garden of God. And I believe that when the prodigal son stepped up, he looked out the window and said, Papa, the roses are blooming again in my garden. Oh, when a man or a woman will get up and come to God, the roses will bloom again. Isn't it a blessing? Years ago, Monday night, I was home. While I was home, about 10 o'clock, my phone rang. And I said, hello? I thought it was some preacher like Kenneth or somebody down in Atlanta just going to make some jokes or something and laugh at him and change their voice, you know. But I realized just the instant that it was a real serious voice. And a young boy said to me, Brother Mays, I left my home 11 months ago. I haven't heard from my daddy. My daddy hadn't heard from me. He said, you've helped him in a lot of meetings. And Brother Mays, he said, I am at about to eat in 3 days, but that's not what I called you. Said, a policeman got your number and gave me a dime. Said, I'm here at the bus station in Atlanta. I'm hungry and tired, but most of all, I want to go home. He said, I'm so hungry to go home. Let me tell you something. Until you get hungry, you'll never go home. Oh, till you get tired of the pigs, you'll never go home. Till you get tired of sin, you'll never go home. But when you see there's something better up there at the house waiting on you, glory to God, you'll get up. That old boy said to me, he said, can you help me? I said, don't you move. You stay right there in that bus station. I'll be there as quick as I can get out of Decatur, Georgia, downtown. I jumped up, and my wife said, where are you going? I said, I'll be back in a few minutes. And I jumped in my car, went out, hit 20, went down, and hit King, or hit 85, went down to King Street and turned up to the bus station there in Atlanta. Went behind the bus station, and I couldn't find a parking place. And everything said no parking, so I just pulled my car in a no parking spot. I said, I got to get in and get that boy to God. I can't worry about parking. Somebody wants to get right with Jesus. When I pulled up there, people said, and I turned around and said, yes. He said, can't you read, buddy? It said no parking. I said, I'm a preacher. He said, go ahead, preaching. I said, well, praise God. I sure was glad I was a preacher at that time. And I went in that bus station, and it's going to Maine, and it's going to Miami. But over there in the corner, an old boy's beard was long, his hair was long, his eyes and face was dirty. He was just a squalling. I went over there, and he said, Brother Mays, he said, I want you to pray for me. Brother, we fell down right there in the middle of that floor, and while some of us going to Chattanooga and getting ready to go to Jacksonville, me and him was going to heaven. Say amen right there. Oh, you say, Brother Mays, was it good? I say, was it good? Oh, he got right with Jesus, and he hugged me, and I hugged him, and those folks thought we was crazy in that bus station. Listen, when you get old-time salvation, a lot of people think you've gone crazy. Oh, it'll make you act a little peculiar at times. And you say, what happened, that boy? said, Brother Mays, thank you for coming. I said, you wait a minute. I went over there, and I said, what time you got a bus going to North Carolina? He told me, and I said, when will it leave? He said, 20 minutes. I said, give me a one-way ticket. I got a one-way ticket, and I went over to that boy, and I said, wait a minute. I want to do something. And I called his home. It's about, oh, I guess 80 miles from here. I called his home, and the boy's mother answered the phone and said, hello? I said, hi, how are you, ma'am? She said, Lord, it's old Mays. How are you getting on, Mays? I said, fine. She said, you haven't seen my boy, have you? I said, yes, ma'am, I'm looking at him. Hallelujah. She said, is he all right? I said, he's in the best shape I've ever seen him. Praise God. Oh, you talk about a shouting good time. She said, Clyde, pick up that phone. Clyde picked up the phone and said, Mays, do you know where my boy is? I said, do I know where he is? I'm fixing to feed him and put him on a bus. And he'll be 7 miles in 15 minutes. He'll be home. And I said, there's a little Shell filling station out there in front of that little bus station where you live. And you and your wife be there in the morning before daylight at this time, and you'll meet your boy. He said, I'll come get him. I said, no, you won't. I've got his ticket already. I'm going to give him something to eat and put him on that bus. And I said, I want him to live for Jesus. That's all I want him to do. I went in there to the cafeteria, and I said, all right, buddy, get whatever you want. He took that tray and said, Kentucky Fried Chicken. I said, get you some. He said, He said, country steak. I said, get you some. He looked down and said, trout. I said, get you some. I said, God, he's going to break me, but praise God. I said, get you what you want. Get you what you want. Boy, I want to tell you something. That old boy got it. We went over and sat down in the corner, and I said, you ask grace. I said, you haven't got the 14 minutes. You better hurry. And boy, he got the crying. I've never eaten chicken and tears, and I've never eaten country-style steak and tears, but that sure did look good. He cried over and over. And when he said, amen, I said, son, you better start eating. We've got about 12 minutes. About 4 minutes after that, about 8 minutes before the bus was to leave. Let me see if I can imitate that man in there at the bus station. He said, Greyhound Lines, gate 14, departing all points north in exactly 8 minutes. I said, boy, you better hurry. Hey! He just climbing in, and we went out there, and it's the nicest bus driver you ever saw. And he's fixing his hat, and he started clipping the tickets. And I stand over, and I said, me and the boy here want to wait a minute. Oh, he said, I know how it is, father and son. Take all the time you want. You say, why, you wasn't his daddy. I was. I just let him to God. I say, and boy, listen to me. It wasn't long for that bus driver said, you'll have to get on the bus, son. And when he got on the bus, I looked at him. He sat down. He kept waving out the side window. And then that bus driver got on, fixed his cap, pulled that big silver door to, let the air out of those brakes of that big bus, started backing up to go out to King Street to go down to 85 and up 85 to North Carolina. And as he backed that big bus out there to go out to King Street, I was up beside him. That boy's a crying, I was a crying. He backed up and started easing that bus out through that little narrow street there that went out to King Street. And as he's easing out, I walked along beside that bus just a crying and a shouting and having the best time you ever saw. That policeman walked up beside me. And did you know he took off his cap? And he's walking with me. I believe if we'd have walked another minute, he'd have pulled his guns off. You say, Brother Mays, I want to tell you something. And that bus pulled away. And you know what I did? I went home, got my alarm clock, and went down the stairs and set my alarm clock 10 minutes before he was to arrive. And that morning, it was still dark. That alarm clock went off. And when it went off, listen to me, I jumped out of that little old bed. I shouted, and I could see that old bus making its last couple of miles up the road. And then I looked at my watch, and 5 minutes had passed, and 4 minutes left, 3 minutes left, 2 minutes! And I saw the bus hit the last hill, start around that little Shell filling station. And when it said time to arrive, I saw a little old mama sitting out there and a daddy waiting for that bus door to open. And when it opened, I saw that boy fall out and say, Mama, it's all right, I'm home. Daddy, it's all right, I'm home. You say, what did you do? I hollered, woo! Hallelujah. You say, what'd you holler for? I was glad he got home. Praise God. I went upstairs, and my wife said, why did you holler downstairs? I said, you ought to have been there. When that bus pulled up, and that boy got home. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Thank God the roses were blooming again.